Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts from the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and on this edition of the conversation, I'm chatting with Vinny Savant, Acting Rehabilitation Service Manager and a speech-language pathologist with the Fairfax County Health Department. And our topic today is Speech and Hearing Month, as well as all the services that are open to the community through the hearing clinics and the health department and, you know, what is hearing loss, all that kind of good stuff. We've got a lot more to talk about than I'm sure we'll have time for. But Vinny, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You mentioned it's Speech and Hearing Month. I want to talk specifically about that in a minute. But when I was reading the introduction, you're with the Fairfax County Health Department. Why is speech and hearing in the health department?
That is a good question. There are a lot of private speech and hearing clinics outside which deal only with the speech and language evaluations and treatment, whereas we as public health speech and hearing department deal with more about community education, community awareness. Mm. We do a lot of preschool screenings, a lot of screenings at the adult community centers, at the senior centers, following the health department motto, which is that we have to promote health and well-being of everyone in the Fairfax County.
Okay, yeah, good model, good goal. So you mentioned serving everybody, and that I'm thinking in my head, there's got to be some kind of difference between speech and hearing services or treatment for children, middle age, or adults. I mean, is that true in my assumption?
If you look at the baseline or a layman's person, it would be more about speech and hearing would be a baseline. A layman's thinks if your speech is not being understood by others, or if you're not able to communicate, if you're not able to comprehend what others are saying, if you're not able to hear what others are saying, and that would happen for any age group. It would happen for children, teens, adults. The causes for those at every age range would be different. Mm. For children, it would be a delay in language, in the developmental delay. It is a voice disorder. It is a misuse of voice. It is stuttering. Whereas for adults, it would be a language disorder. It would be something which happens because of a neurological disorder, because of a stroke, because we have aphasia, which is a language processing disorder. Mm. Some adults also have voice problem after they have a surgery. So again, the speech, language, hearing, and all age ranges.
Oh, wow. Okay. A lot to talk about here. And like I said, I'm sure there's going to be way more than we can get to. A couple of different areas, speech and language, as well as hearing. So is there one of those that you want to focus on as we start? And then we'll get to the speech and hearing month and talk about all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, let's start with speech.
Okay.
I would say speech is more... like speech, when somebody's talking, it is more about articulation disorders where you cannot say certain sounds well. It could be an oral motor issue where you're not able to move your tongue or your mouth to make those certain sounds. Whereas it could be a fluency disorder where you're not able to have the rate in your speech. You are pausing, hesitating while you are speaking. Then there's a voice disorder. So this is more about anything to do with your speech, your articulation, your voice, or your fluency.
Okay.
The next I would go is with the language disorder. The language is when you combine words to communicate, to make a sentence. It is some, and then there are two parts with that. One is a receptive language. When somebody is talking to you, you have to understand what they're saying.
Right.
And then the expressive language, when you have to say something, whether you are able to put your thoughts into words and into a correct sentence. And that part is what we call as a syntax. Like, is the grammar of the sentence correct? Are the words put correctly together?
Yeah, I was never very good at syntax and all that kind of stuff in school. So,
So that would be more about speech and language.
Okay.
And hearing is more about if you are able to listen to the sounds. It is perception of sound. Now, there are two concerns with hearing. One is a hearing disorder where you are not able to hear the sounds, but there is also something called as a central auditory processing disorder, which means you are able to hear the sounds, but you are not able to make out what those sounds mean.
Hmm.
It is difficulty processing that auditory information by the brain.
Okay. for me, I think this podcast is going to have a lot of assumptions. I'm assuming that the topics you were mentioning, especially when we're talking about speech and language, seems to me like there would be more for children growing up in school and learning the vocabularies, learning how to read and write, learning how to talk, that kind of thing. Am I correct in that? I mean, is there a breakdown of like clients y'all see in the health department?
Yes, it would be a breakdown. Let's talk about children. So if mm-hmm. you're talking about children 0 to 3 years of age, we are talking about their developmental stage.
Okay.
Where a child who's born at 3 months, does he listen? Does he pay attention to you when you talk to him? Does he smile? Does he coo? Does he babble?
Meaning he can hear you.
He can hear you.
Right.
And he's responding to you. At 1 year of age, is he making babbling sounds? Is he saying his first word? A simple guideline is 1 year of age is one word utterance by the child.
Oh.
So for children, basically, we are looking more at the developmental stages, the developmental milestones. So think about 1 year, one word. 2 year is a layperson's term, a two-word combination. So which means 1 year old child would say mama, whereas a 2 year would say mama, milk, whereas a 3 year would say I want milk, mommy. So that goes for a three-year old.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we look at early intervention for 0 to 3 years of age. It is also about whether the child can say those sounds. Of course, he cannot say those sounds as a baby. And those sounds develop as the child develops. Like for 1 year, he would say P, B, and M. So the papa, baba, mama is very easy.
Mm.
Whereas as he grows up, those later developing sounds like the R's, the H's, the T's, and the D's, they come up later on, like at 3 years and four years and 5 years of age.
Wow.
So what we try to target in the Fairfax County is we do go out in the preschools in the community to educate parents and families and identify these children who are at risk for delayed development, who have issues with that, so we could address them as soon as possible.
Right. Talk to me a little bit about that. And we're talking now in May, Speech and Hearing Month, but I think y'all also have a summer program upcoming as well that kind of targets this area. So talk to me about both of those.
Yes. So May is the National Speech Language Hearing Month, which is being declared as by our profession, which is American Speech and Hearing Association. So usually during the month of May, we try to bring in more awareness, more education for the public, for the community to understand what these things are. For the month of May, we are doing presentations in the libraries for all the community and the families and parents to understand what speech and hearing concerns the child may have and how it affects the child. We also have speech free screenings in all the libraries in 9 locations all over the county. It is, again, our goal is identifying these children early and getting to work with them early before it gets severe. Also for the summer thing, when the schools are closed, we are providing summer speech therapy clinic, which would mean for kids who have IEP, who receive services in school, but do not receive those services during summertime, we do not want a summer decline. So we provide those services only during summertime when the schools are out.
Oh, okay.
So that they maintain their functioning level. We also have a reading program for kids who have a reading-writing disability.
Wow.
So we have an intensive summer reading program for them. Targeting the reading writing skills.
All right. I was looking at your website. Is that the RISE? The RISE program?
Yes, it is
okay.
Reading intensive summer program.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned IEP earlier, individualized educational plan, I think that's what it stands for. And that's developed within the school system targeted to that specific child.
Yes.
Okay.
So the IEP is the individualized education program which each child has, a school-going child has, if he has any difficulty with his speech and hearing. What happens in school is it is more of an inclusion program, it is more of a group therapy, but the IEP goals are more targeted towards the concerns the child has. So what we do in our speech in the health department clinic is we target those specific goals for that child during summertime. And it is more on one-on-one basis and not a group.
Okay. So you pick up where the IEP left off at the end of the school year and just kind of continue, or do you try to advance Does that make sense on the question I'm asking?
Yes. If needed, we do advance. But the goal is that the child does not have a decline in his functioning during summertime when the schools are out, when he's not receiving his intervention at school.
Got it. We are on the County Conversation podcast, and we're talking with Vinnie Savant. She is Acting Rehabilitation Service Manager and a Speech Language Pathologist in Speech Hearing and Speech and Hearing Clinics with Fairfax County's Health Department. We've been talking a lot about the kids. I want to make sure we don't neglect the older adults, because that's my first thought when I think about, you know, hearing loss. I think of an older adult, you know, having a hard time hearing. So talk to me about the other end of the spectrum now, going from kids to adults or older adults.
Thank you so much for addressing that. Yes, older adults are equally important. We do go out in the community to the senior centers, the adult daycare centers, to community events where we do screen a lot of adults for hearing concerns. Again, as we get old, it is difficult that, oh, the person is not listening, oh, he's not paying attention, oh, he has difficulty saying certain words, or he doesn't remember what words to say. So these are the early signs of, say, dementia, or some neurological conditions, or if they have had a stroke, the language disorder is the language concerns, the language processing concerns are there. We do address these, again, as I said, in the community as well as in the clinic. We do have one-on-one therapy for them. We do have a stroke survivors club, which is a helping hand stroke club, which meets on a weekly basis. It is more of a support system for all these, all the stroke survivors to come in, talk to each other, network with each other, support each other, get resources, enjoy with each other.
Right, right.
We also have a caregiver support group. Wow. Especially for this, when the caregivers, there is a lot of caregiver burnout. It really helps when you have all the caregivers come together, exchange ideas, exchange thoughts. I think it's a really great thing for them.
Yeah.
We also have a speech group, which means the therapy is over and done.
Right.
They are having at a functional level, but we would like to make sure that they continue at that functioning level and they do not decline. So if we have an adult who's post-stroke, who's had an aphasia, who's recovered, who can talk, who's living at home alone, we want to make sure we maintain that functioning level of that adult.
Gotcha.
So we do have a maintenance group for speech also.
So a lot of these things you just talked about are caused by something. Is it possible just to have natural hearing loss over time?
Yes, it is. It may be because of, say, earwax. It may be noise-induced hearing loss with all the sounds we have and all the headphones we have in our head all the time. So, yes, it does. So, it is really a good idea to have your ears, have your hearing tested or screened every once in a while to see what is going on.
Is there a recommendation like every 5 years, every 10 years? I mean, or is it just, you know, when you go to the doctor, say, hey, you want to check my ears?
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially for kids in schools, they do have at certain levels, they check their hearing, which is really
great.
Right. But for adults, we don't have it. So.
Well, I used to be a disc jockey in my earlier days, and I'm familiar with a loud headphone. So I'm waiting for my day to come when I go, what? What? What'd she say?
Yeah. We call that as noise-induced hearing loss.
Oh, okay.
That's
well,
right.
Now I know what to call it. So as adults, or children growing up, or parents listening have children, what are some steps they or we can take to prevent our children from suffering hearing loss, or, you know, making sure that they can auditorially, is that the right word, auditory, get by in life? I mean, certain things they should not do.
Yes, do not use Q-tips to clean your ears.
Oh.
That is definitely not recommended.
I do that every day.
you're not cleaning your ears. You're pushing the earwax more inside your ears.
Oh, my.
So for children, we say when the children are nursing and the ears are developing, we say that the ears are more like an S shape. They have a high rate, they have an extremely high incidence having a middle ear infections because there's water retention, the suck and swallow function is there. They take a shower, the ears are S-shaped, there's water in the ear, So for especially for kids, we do make sure, we do recommend that when you hear the have the kid pulling on his ear or crying, saying that the ear is hurting, there's a little bit of a temperature. It probably is a something to go with the middle ear infection. That is an easy one. Go to an ENT. He will check it, fix it. If it happens too often, then we have ear tubes, which goes. It is also very important in children to address these middle ear infections when they're developing, because the hearing loss also affects their speech development. If they're not hearing those sounds, they are not learning to say those sounds.
Makes sense.
So if you have a child who's not responding to your name call, the child who is who's listening to loud music all the time, earphones in the ear all the time, not able to listen to teacher or understand what the teacher says in the classroom in a noise environment, these are the concerns we have, especially with children, with making sure that they're hearing well.
I know both my kids, when they were growing up, they were susceptible to ear infections, so it just seemed like a normal thing of growing up. What if parents have kids that have issues with speech or hearing? Is there a point in which they should contact the health department to get a screening, get a test? I mean, what are we looking for?
Sometimes what happens is a parent feels that, oh, my child is not talking as much as the other child talks, or as much as his friends talk, or I do not understand what my child is saying. Although he's saying a lot, but I don't know what he's saying.
Right.
These are some red flags where I would say, I know you have concerns, get it checked. And what I mean by checked is not doing a full-fledged evaluation. It's more of a screening. Like, I'm not sure if something is wrong. So screening is more of a yes and no. Is the child in the developmental stage? Is he age-appropriate, or is there a delay, or is something going on? And most of the time during screening times, we feel, oh, the child is fine. He is in the perfect developmental stage.
Mm.
His errors, which he has, are developmental. So, like, we do not expect a two-year-old child to say the R sound or the thumb sound.
Right.
No, so these are developmentally normals. But if we have a five-year-old child who is not able to say the P, B, the T, and the D sounds, or say a sentence, that is a concern. So, yes, I would say to the parents that if you feel that the child is not, you are not able to understand the child, or the child, when you compare it to some other children at the same age, it is not the same. Just have a screening, a quick screening helps and get your concerns resolved. Is there an issue? Is there not an issue? Mm-hmm. If there is, it's always then we can move ahead with that.
Right. What about hearing? You talked about there wasn't really a pattern or set schedule for hearing checks, but kind of regularly, but on that line, flip side, what can I expect if I have to get a hearing test? What does that involve?
It would be a hearing screenings also. You can come to our clinic, or you can go to your ENT. They also have a quick hearing screenings for you. They just give you a sound.
And so I say, oh, I can hear that.
Yes.
Okay.
So there are different ways they test you. They give you sounds through your ears, which is through your eardrum and into the middle ear. They also test you through your bone conduction, where the sound travels through your bone. They also test your reflexes and your ears through an acoustic emissions and other testings, or a tympanogram, which tests how the middle ear is functioning, or how the tympanic membrane is moving for hearing.
Okay. And come to my favorite question, which is, what are the cost of all these things through the health department? I mean, what are we talking about?
Yes. When you have an insurance, I know you have your pediatricians, your ENTs to go. Quite a few insurance may have in-network speech therapy also, especially for children who have autism right now. I'm glad that they have insurance, in-network insurances. But the important part about us being there as a public health in the health department, speech and hearing, is we do serve all age ranges, and you do not have to have an insurance for that. We do take Medicaid, which are only few providers who accept Medicaid insurances. We are
right.
One of the few providers who accept Medicaid.
Right.
The biggest advantage of being coming to health department at the county, I would say, is the sliding scale. So depending on your family size and your family income, you do qualify for sliding scale on the county things. The sliding scale is from A to G, where A is no fees at all. If you have no insurance, if you have an insurance which does not have in-network speech therapy, if you have insurance which has an extremely high deductible, you can come and see us. The sliding scale makes a huge difference in serving you.
Okay. Got just about a minute or so left before we wrap up. Where can they go to see if they can take advantage of these sliding scales? Clinic locations? Is there more than one place they could go?
Yes, we are currently at three locations. We are in the main city of Fairfax at the Joseph Willard Health Clinic. We are going to be there only for a few more months. Yeah, they're tearing down for redevelopment.
In October, I think.
Yes. So we are also at the South County, which is at the Mount Vernon district office, which is in Alexandria, and we are also located in Herndon Reston district office. So at all over the two ends of the county.
All right, okay. Sort of conveniently located. Mm-hmm. All right, so if some folks are listening to this and they're intrigued right now, where can they go? Is there a website? Is there a phone number? How do they get more information?
Any ways you can. You can call us up at the phone number. It is 703-246-7120. Or you can go on the fairfaxcounty.gov website, health department, speech-hearing. Or you can just Google Speech and Hearing Clinic, Fairfax County, and we will be there.
All right. Awesome. I'm going to give you the final word, Benny. What do you want our listeners taking away knowing about either Speech and Hearing Month or speech, language, hearing, anything? I'll let you have the final word.
Thank you so much, Tim. I think I would like to take this opportunity for this month of May to encourage parents and people who are concerned about their hearings, are not sure where what they should be doing about it. I would say, go ahead, give us a call, get it checked out. It may be no concerns at all. It would relieve all your worries. Or if there is something else, we would address it further. I'm really happy to say that the county takes care of everybody in Fairfax County. There are various resources. There are various ways we can take care of you. And it is not inexpensive.
Vinny, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks to Vinny for being here. Thanks to you for listening to this edition of the County Conversation Podcast. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, as well as our podcast webpage. That's fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.